Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to the Paradise Circle. Today is an auspicious day. That's right. In case you were ever curious about the keys to paradise, what the heck is paradise? And why might it be a paradox? You'll want to stay tuned for today. We're going to go to the root of the matter. And if you're new to the encounter with the Paradise Circle, welcome. If you've been around here before, welcome back. Today is a day you will want to download the latest version of this software. And you can do so right off the Empowering Now website under the Open Meetings tab. And there's a bullet point there that says download the Paradise Circle ebook. So click the link, download the ebook, and meet us on page 3 as we welcome you to the Paradise Circle. We are a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and also coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry, known as the Quiry is Radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. So, Maha, Emilio, how are y'all doing today?
Go ahead, Maha.
Okay. My feeling word is intoxicated. It's like I'm on drug. I am so high in God's love that I feel intoxicated with love. And it is an extraordinary feeling.
Welcome with the intoxication, Maha. Good to be with you.
This is Emilio. Yes. And my feeling word is quiet. I'm feeling very quiet, and these are the first words I've spoken since last night, about 6 o'clock. And so it's a different sense of speaking and hearing my voice. What touches me in the in what you read was renewing the understanding that there's only one of us. Sometimes I think it's real easy to forget that, at least for me, and that all is one. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, well, yeah, and connected to what you offered, Emilio, I heard the word practicing. You know, a doctor practices medicine. The Paradise Circle folks, we practice introspection. And that introspection is a medicine that's very potent. And it does take practice. And I hear the wisdom in what you're offering, which really leads us to our introduction. You know, our shadow agreements are on page 5 of this ebook. Our public circles are a bit different than our circles when we meet in person, in the sense that we are doing this over the internet, obviously. That doesn't shift the idea of the importance of what we're doing. And we're revealing a code, and that code that we're discussing today, and I see that Verena just popped in. Hey, V, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Keyword for you today?
Brilliant.
I love it. Yeah. Well, you're with intoxicated quietness, and my keyword would be gentle. I would say. So thank you, Verena, for being here. forum,
lovely,
the agreements.
Okay.
And if you haven't already noticed, there has been an update, and this page references some of those new understandings of shadow work, which is an invitation for us to empty our cup. And sometimes it means we might need to break it so that we can actually receive wisdom and power and the marriage of wisdom and power. In other words, knowing what to do and actually doing it. And toward those agreements, our first agreement is related to permission. And this new agreement says that I trust us when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, light, freak, or freeze. I am here in this paradise circle to risk entering the darkness so as to bring light on how my misusing power prevents the force from being with me. Anyone want to say amen or voice your comments on our first agreement?
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, B. Emilio. Number two, I own my obscure the use of you words as marks of my projections.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maha. Confidentiality by request. In case I open my shame closet and can't close it. Clearly, we know we're, as I mentioned earlier, in a public forum. And speak or don't speak, and know up front that you're in charge of your confidentiality. Go ahead, Maha.
I have a comment on that, confidentiality by request. And I have this comment in the sense that I have committed to doing shadow work for a number of years. And I don't need to be precise, but decades is more like it. And in doing so, I noticed that there were parts that I didn't dare to own, and that the process of being honest is really a process. That the tendency for me was to go into hiding, but that ultimately, if, for example, I stole money, or if I had pimples on my butt at some point of my life, to be able to own the moral flaw and or what I considered a physical flaw and let them go out without any shame is ultimately the goal. So we're offering confidentiality by request because we honor that it is a step-by-step experience and that shame, and its counterpart, honesty, just bringing it all out, is a process. It's not something that opening my shame closet and being able to close it without any problem, whether somebody is going to pick a piece into it and expose it, that's a process.
Thank you for that, Maha. And welcome, Jessica, to the call today. You're welcome to say howdy if you like, and you're also welcome to keep silence. All right. Thanks for that. So number four, presence. I do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into avoidance. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? The connects to what we were saying a moment ago, the idea that I will stay here present and be responsible for my experience. And in order to do that, I stay in the body. Number
Amen.
Five. Thanks, Maha. And number five, discomfort. This agreement is interesting in that we are inviting each of us to invite the unease of change, because it's out of that unease that keeps me from going to the default of staying in my comfort places. Anybody want to amen this one for us?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. And finally, number six, clearing space. I check my assumptions when I think something is off. Yeah, this is also another one of those things to practice. You know, it's easy to operate under assumptions. If I don't, stay in a valid inquiry, and checking assumptions helps us to protect and to stay in a sacred container together. Beautiful. So now that we've talked a little bit about our circle agreements, we're looking at the summary and the synthesis of what it is that makes this inquiry unique and different than other forms of inquiry. So on page 10, the title of this page is, Did You Kabbalah? This is a Hebrew word for receive. Did you receive it? So the receiving of the Paradise Circle is about being primary. In other words, there is no difference between what I say I want and what I have in reality. And there are four movements towards that receiving, the first of which is feeling and transformation, which says that communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. For me to be primary is simply to be myself and consistently meaning what I say and saying what I mean. The next sentence is a doozy. This resonance, this vibration, the vibration between what I say and what I have. And if I think, what is a resonance and what is a vibration? It's an emotion. It's a feeling. When I actually have those two together, I then have the power to transform. Which takes us to number two. Verena, you want to read Awakening and Peace for us?
Sure. Awakening and Peace. When I'm not in peace, there is something I do not understand. From there, I have two sensible options. I can ask and answer the ultimate question, who am I, which is inquiry. Or I can ask that I can accept that I am not in peace, which is surrender. Well, I love this one because it right now it speaks to me of even getting that I'm not in peace is powerful. Noting that I'm not in peace.
And it also speaks. Yeah.
Go on.
No, I mean, and even as you were commenting, I was hearing it. Forgive the interruption, Verena. The simplicity of it. You know, in the depth at which these two tools are ultimate, can bring me to ultimate, quote-unquote, enlightenment, and your point is valid. If I can really recognize when I'm not at peace, and I'm willing to do that, which gets back to the resonance, the feelings, right?
Yeah, yes.
So enlightenment is simple. Emilio, you want to take us through the third one?
Sure. And inquiry, I can trust. Expires inquiry is radical as it uses sacred geometry. The Genesis pattern reveals that the word, in parentheses, and thus the world, is created in 6 days. The 6 stages climax in the consciousness of Shabbat as the seventh day of rest. What really touches me about this particular part, anyone that wants to Google or research about Genesis pattern and understanding of the Bible, or specifically the Bible in the beginning and how that those words were used, that the Genesis pattern, that the word was created in 6 days. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so as we look at how this inquiry comes back to a place of being able to be trusted, there's 6 stages or 6 days that climax in a consciousness of rest where I no longer in the doer, that it's no longer being done through by me, it's being done through me, and I'm just being done. So that packs into an inquiry that I can trust, because each day reveals something different. Each deeper and deeper I go, there's a different revelation into me.
Yeah. And on top of that, it also reveals the reason that trust is in this sentence, because as Verena mentioned, it's simple. The simplicity of inquiry and surrender as tools for enlightenment, obviously I don't trust them, because if I don't use them, then I must not trust them, especially if I say that I want to be awake. So it's a different story if I'm unconscious about the idea of waking up. But if I've decided that I want to wake up and I know that these tools are there, then possibility is that I don't trust them. And so in order to deepen the idea of inquiry, we're introducing the notion that it'd be nice to have an inquiry that I can trust, which leads us to 4. Maha, you want to walk us through that one?
Wait, Ms. Rain, I want to say something.
Please.
On the note of what you're talking about, the trust is, I've recently realized that when my memory escapes me and I forget that I have these tools, that's also another way for me to recognize the distrust in my space.
Wow.
Yeah, good point.
Marina, you're just so big. Thank you much. Thank you for us.
Oh.
For the understanding, as Emilio said, that there's only one of us. Ah. And that, I'm going to read it. And I first will read it. And contain this love and dark vision that runs through me. Okay. The tree of life holds the wisdom of the Bible, guiding me out of the lower worlds, Egypt, into pure awareness, promised land. Yet, I must eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and die to who I think I am. So, I read this from being Maha, who loves religion that is lived. I'm a mystic. I love when I hear love the neighbor as yourself, and I'm actually bringing flowers to my neighbor. I love that stuff. I can't get enough of it. Speaking of the understanding that there's only one of us, same. If they're religion, I mean, most religion agree to God as well. I read this little thing, the tree of life, the Bible, the lower worlds, Egypt, the promised land, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'm thinking, this is groovy. This is really cool. Why? Because I feel it in my soul and I sense it in my body. So, the tree of life is the chakras. Unless your sex chakra works correctly, you're going to have creative problems, fertility problems, financial problems. Unless your root chakra works correct, you're going to have survival problems, eating, addiction problems, feeling safe, unsafe problems. Etc., etc. That's another discussion besides today. But that's Egypt. Those are the chakras that are on the throat. The promised land is the third eye and the crown. Well, when I'm in the third eye, it's open. When I'm in my crown, I don't have a problem. Thank you very much. So what XPR brings is a new key, the mouth chakra. And we have had a show. That's the tree that's biblically known to use that work as a joke, as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's where you're invited today. So what may be a repeated experience in my life that causes me pain? You know, 2 weeks ago, I would have given one answer. Today, in this moment, a recurring experience was to exercise and to watch my clock, and or to exercise and to watch the number of steps I had walked. Today, my exercise routine was fun, inventive. Actually, the work routine had no part of it. And the time or the steps, the counting had no part of it. It was so joyous. There was so little pain. And that refills is my cup. So your turn to answer that question, and let's take it to tomorrow's XPR experience, which is paradise and where it is self-disclosure, speaking of shame, and up in closet. Page 17, all yours, Michael.
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate the idea that, you know, what was lost was found, and what I heard in your sharing is the joy of exercising has been found. And, you know, consider, for those of you listening, if there was the ability to take something that you resist and you know is something that you need to do, and then to have that experience become joyful, it's really beautiful. And I can relate. I feel the same way in my life. So thank you for that, Maha, first of all.
Yay.
And so what is it about disclosure? And I thought of this word disclosure. You know, it's we're disclosing the secret of secrets here. What is paradise? You know, the illusory understanding of paradise is that it happens after I die. And what we're going to discuss today is a way in which each of us can become the living word. And it involves an understanding that language is alive, which we introduced in our introductory reading. So let's go through this page, and we'll explain the colors and the table that's at the top of this page as we disclose the code of paradise. If you look at the word paradise itself, you see four capital letters, and we will explain today exactly why those letters are capitalized and how they relate to receiving these elemental understandings to have my speaking become primary. So who would like to read a couple sentences for us starting out on page 17? Anyone? Bueller?
I'll be Bueller.
Did you say Bueller?
I did.
As in Bueller's Day Off?
Yeah.
Cultural, pop culture moment here. This friend, I'll gladly start with the first sentence. Our circle is strangely named Paradise in honor of the four. And Paradise and four are in quotations. So what we have right in these two words, paradise and four, is the letter P in paradise is brown, the letter R in paradise is blue, the D is azure blue, and the S is red. And we just saw that on page 10. If you were looking at that, there were also the four colors played out, and now we have a table at the top that you can tie the color of the letter to the cell that's got the same color. So, Michael?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Verena, for just doing this one sentence because it's packed. And even connecting it to the word for, which has the same color code, and we'll see the color code repeat here in a bit, but the for is important. And what I would comment on the for connects to my Christian upbringing, the idea that the word God in the Bible is most usually, the most common iteration of that word is in Hebrew, four letters, Yod, He, Vav, He. And the Jewish tradition does not pronounce it out loud, except on, if I'm not mistaken, and Maha, feel free to correct me, if one day per year in the High Temple, the priest, only the priest in the Temple of Temples has the ability to pronounce that name out loud. And there's all kinds of traditions around what you can and cannot do around pronouncing that four-lettered name. And in Christianity, that's just known as the Lord. And when we start looking at God names in Hebrew and how they transmit power and love and, you know, the connection, the communication that we've been exploring here, the four-letter name is very sacred and is the subject of all kinds of psychological analysis, from the Myers-Briggs to the sacred tractatus going back to Aristotle. And so the idea of the four is an important honoring of the four-letter name of God. There's more than the four-letter name of God. And the partis and the four, the paradise and the four, are interestingly linked through this color code. And for the time being, that may be enough on introducing the four. Maha, anything you'd like to add on that?
Yeah, I appreciate all you said, because it really touches me that someone who wasn't born in the Jewish tradition would have so much passion for this heritage and know so much about it. Also thinking of the people that are new to this, and that's a whole lot. Tell you, the four are the four classical elements. F is red, as in fire. O is brown, as in earth. U is blue, as in water. R is Asia, as in air. Those classical elements sustain every technology of intervention. Psychology, psychiatry, leadership workshop, the work. For now, let's keep it simple. There's going to be a place where we can talk about the name of God and what that means in relationship to our physical life. For now, just keep in mind the four elements. That's simple.
Good input, Maha. Very well. You want to take us through the next one? Next seven.
I'm happy to. So, story is told of four courageous rabbis of the Mishnaic period, 4th century Common Era, who knocked at the door of the Pardes to find paradise and be fluent in the paradox, in God's language. So again, not a lot is happening in that one sentence. First of all, you can stand or imagine that the word paradise in English comes from the word pardes in Hebrew. You can also realize that there is a poem, a play on words between paradise and paradox. And you can wonder about why paradox would be God's language and what difference that might mean in your life. So let's just answer two questions. First of all, in context, to place it in the plain sense, fire is about, is language, communication, as the key to transformation. Now, it is felt communication. And what that means is you may ask someone, how are you today? And they would tell you, oh, I'm fine. And just the tone of voice will let you know that there's a misalignment between what the words are saying and the energy that supports the words. That does not job. And you're going to a job interview and you're saying, I choose to be hired, I'm showing up, I'm going to do my best to get this job. The difference is going to be in between whether you mean it in the energy sustaining your words and also whether the words you're using, the plain meaning of your words, are congruent with your expected result. So communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. We indeed create as we speak, like it or not, being conscious of it or not. So that's a very essential understanding of the importance of choosing our power, and of words, which is the world we create. Now, there is this language called Hebrew that is coded. What that means is every letter is an acronym. Every word is an acronym, and that gives it so many dimensions that it can explode the brain into understanding. Go back to Verena's comment about awakening and peace, and there are times where I don't even know. I'm so out of myself that I have lost peace. Okay? So, understanding by a geometrical Hebrew called, Hebrew, and it works with English. Paradise, paradise, paradox, paradox. There's sort of like a match. You don't even need to learn Hebrew, provided you know English. So, a last on the question that this sentence brings. What does it mean to be fluent in the paradox, in God's language? So, finally, question that I pose to you. What is your understanding of being fluent in the paradox, in God's language?
Well, this is Brent. On a very sensory level, based on what you just also shared, is for me to truly be connected through the elements, through being able to sense what's going on, to feel what's going on, to know my mind, to know my heart, to know my body, to be present on all those levels is a heck of a good start.
Amen. Anyone else? Please. So you're speaking of being present to all all the levels of your experience. And actually, you nailed it, because it's like, you know, my mind is going in one direction and my body is going in another. So, in other words, in my mind, or more exactly, my heart, my body and my heart. So in my heart, I know that I need to exercise. That's what I have known forever. However, my mind would say, boring, it hurts too much, who cares, that's not your forte, and it made the experience really painful. So embracing the paradox is to be between a rock and a hard place. In the example I gave, the rock is my heart saying, go exercise. The hard place is my mind saying, I don't want to. And to be able to hold the tension until there is an alignment between the heart that is going in a direction and the mind that is going in another. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense to me. It sounds like my whole job search, you know, had to really come together by continually refining the process and refining where I was going and until I could be in a place where I was in alignment.
Awesome. So let's continue. This attainment is traced in the four-letter word Pardes, and then there's the equivalent Hebrew letter. You just have to look at the color code to see which is P, which is R, which is D, which is S. And that means orchard, like a place where you grow fruit and get to be fruitful and multiply. That's pretty sexy. Pardes is known by rabbis, provided they study the Kabbalah, as an acronym for four levels of understanding. And Emilio, could you read the sentence that is in the part that is italicized? Because I know it will touch you.
Sure. When I understand that there's only one of us, I stop, quote, doing the same thing, expecting different results, end quote. Also, when accepting that there is no one out there, I recognize that I am reading in a text. I recognize that what I am reading in a text is the consciousness that I occupy.
Okay. So what touches you here?
You were saying earlier about being a mystic, and the second part of this sentence is, when accepting that there is no one out there, I recognize that what I'm reading in a text is the consciousness that I occupy, and that ties back to an inquiry that we can trust.
Yes.
And it also ties to God's language being paradox and the importance of holding that tension between outer and inner. I'm everything and nothing. And the idea that actually receiving that knowing is, quote-unquote, God's language.
Where did you get that from, in that italicized sentence?
Well, when I know that there's only one of us,
yes,
I stop expecting you to change on the outer, and I change me on the inner. The paradox of outer and inner at the same moment and holding that tension is the paradox.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for this precision. So, Preta, you see, is, you know, it's happened so many times for me to read a book I loved several times. And each time, finding new meaning in it. And what I see in the book is my own evolution. And so what we are proposing in this work with scriptures is very quantum physics based. It is to say there is nothing out there. The text is not something out there that we are studying thinking, oh, this is interesting. Abraham went blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah happened. It is more to say, this is me. What I understand over here is my evolution. It is out of my evolution that I can understand the codes at a greater level. Similarly, if there is something in the Bible that I do not understand, that means that there's something in me that I do not understand. Now, to have that geometrical language that is super coded as a code to the shadow places where I refuse to open to the understanding, to understanding, and to the supreme understanding, there is only one of us. That is extraordinary. That is absolutely a miracle of grace. And that's the miracle of grace that we are inviting.
And so, it's ultimately practical. It is completely practical to your point, the idea that when I can stop looking at the projection onto language as a device to label and separate, and instead open to, it's not the language necessarily, but who's the I using the language, which is this next sentence hinting towards, which says, to ease such self-disclosure, the partus, which in our Roman script is PRDX, opens up as a fourfold acronym. And the color code in the table now will be very helpful. So the first letter P is for shot, which is a plain earth-based meaning. So, you know, in the story of Genesis, the plain understanding would be God actually created the world in six physical days, right? And on the seventh day, he rested. That's the plain earth-based understanding of a story. Or, for example, Abraham really did go up in order to sacrifice his son. The plain understanding of the story itself.
Amen.
The letter R is for a Hebrew word, which is remez. Now, remez is the clue. And this is granted by the water of our emotions. And that's an interesting clue here. If we look at the felt sense of what it means to be complete on the seventh day, for example, when I come to the understanding that all of life is rest. It's not working 7 days in the week, but rather to have the receiving of what the seventh day offers. That's sort of a clue to how to read a given story. I'm sure there are other examples. Emilio Maha, you guys have any other clue examples about the water?
Well, water is about feeling. And our emotional body is a messaging angel. It sends us clue. When something doesn't feel good, it's like it is a clue. Remove yourself from that. You know, take time. See what's happening. So it's like it's a potent messenger. Now, if I read the Bible and I look, for example, at the killing of the firstborn of the Egyptian, it's pretty dire. It doesn't really feel good. So, therefore, there's something here for me to look at. There is an emotional clue. It says, like, pay attention. Something is disturbing to you. That's remiss.
Yeah, for good reason. Until I can really understand this and reconcile these stories in a way to where I receive the hint, there's no way to have the wisdom power that relates to the communication that we're looking at. Great example, Maha.
And this is Brent. I'm also experiencing water that when there's a disturbance, as in a ripple or something, that's where I have an opportunity to pick up on something, or else I would just glide on through.
Mm-hmm. Letter of our pardes, paradox, paradise, is the letter D, which is for the word drush. Now, drush is a commentary. It's a logic. So the rabbis would have a drush. They would go into the depth, perhaps, of the Zohar or other commentaries that look at the sacred text and start to unfold connections in it through a logic.
And
that is memento air. Go ahead, Maha.
First of all, I'm vibrating over here. So I'm just like, so, I don't know, 6 months, 10 months, a year ago, don't have any. I write so much. It writes so much to me. I don't even have a point of reference for time. But what I know is today, what this means to me today. And it's like imagine for the moment having like a gazoo of information and possibility available, and having such a clear mind that you know exactly what to pick out of all of this forest, dense forest of information to convey a clear path. I feel that in a business sense, it's called a talk track. You know, it's like, what is the talk track that you're going to allow the person that you're in communication with to travel from point A to point B? What's the direct line? What's the code? And it's like when I look at the commentaries, there's books and books like the Talmuds. There's just like huge amounts of commentary, and it's dizzying. Whereas the one thing that maybe the most important in the Talmud is the title itself, which says, learn the lesson. Open your heart to knowledge. Be the one that understands knowledge. That's what Talmud means. Just the title is enough. When you understand yourself and have died to where you think you are, then there is no more agenda in picking one articulation over another, and you can see clearly what's the most economical way to create an agreement. Now, that to me is extraordinary. To have that possibility is just, I kiss the ground in gratitude for that. And the way that it happens is out of letter X for Sod, the secret that I find by going into the fire of my intuition. Secret in Hebrew is a very interesting word. In Hebrew, every word has a numerical value because every letter has a numerical value. A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, etc. This is not today's learning. Just accept that each letter having a numerical value makes it that each word has numerical value. So looking at the word sod, the value is 70. And when there's a geometry, like 70 has a specific shape, just like 2 has the shape of a line, it takes 2 points to draw a line, 70 has a specific geometry. Again, this is not today's discussion, so just take it for face value. So the secret of Zod, the geometry of 70, along with two words. The first word is Yayin, which in Hebrew means wine. And we know that the secret goes out when wine goes in. You know, if you want to be intoxicated, the only thing you can have is love, because if you're going to do it with substance, you're going to lose your essence. The other thing that sort is, And again, this is part of a more evolved discussion, so just take it at face value. It is the link between the part of me that is male and the part of me that is female. In other words, the part of me that is moved by loyalty when it is healthy and is going to commit and it's going to persevere and it's going to be in its power and do all of that in perfect gentleness. And the part of me that is female, in other words, to the kindness it's going to give understanding, to the power it's going to give wisdom, and to the perseverance it's going to give appreciation. When I have those two things together, I am in my secret. I am male, female, which also means I have biblical knowledge, self-knowledge, sexual knowledge. I'm not faking it. And from that, I no longer fear the open closet of my shame, because there's nothing I'm hiding. There's no secrets. So those are many, many dimensions of the word secrets, which have a big impact on my soul and the way I feel about me, because it directly plays with shame. We wouldn't want to be free of the weight of shame. Okay? So, rabbinically, this has nothing to do with what I said, because again, there tends to be a world out there when we're not understanding the one of us, and there tends to be a projection to it's all out there. But to come to the sod, which is the decoding, the last level, the decoding of the scriptures, to really get the secret, there has to be a commitment to do shadow work and own the shame. That's why it's so dangerous to do shadow work, because we're like exposing the dirty laundry. So I said a lot. What did you hear? How would you like to complete this experience? I leave it up to you.
Yeah, thanks, Maham. Really into this understanding more and more of how much we as a collective have been taught to ignore that shame and to pretend. And it's out of that pretense that we're not heard, because the agenda of convincing others to feel about me how I don't feel about me is the core of my inauthenticity. In other words, to come to a place of no agenda and to have no expectation, and at the same moment be in a form of leadership and power that does not harm the other, it does require a gentle spirit. It does require a tremendous amount of kindness. And I'm thinking now of this story that related to the awakened master who was given poison and nothing happened to the master as he ingested the poison. And it's like the power is no longer, the issue is no longer touching me, and it's no longer hurting those in my environment. And that's really this idea of going into the fire of my intuition. And it really connects to the last sentence on this page. Revealing hidden agendas is how to be one with the heart, and thus to open to plainness and get a clue to come towards the pristine logic. You know, we've all heard there's only one of us. Can I live it? Can I experience it? And is my logic airtight to know that if I seek ye first the kingdom of God, that then everything will be added unto me? And that is the precise invitation of Paradise Circle. And what a gift to have this understanding to empower my now and to invite those who, like us, are interested in having the level of power to shift whatever experience it may be. Maybe it's a painful experience with family. Maybe it's a painful experience with food and health, or maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's career. Whatever that relationship, the invitation is to join us. So I'm touched and feeling very grateful right now. Those are my key words. Emilio, how are you touched out of our inquiry today?
Very richly, in the sense that this, especially the last part, how all of this comes together really blesses me, and that there's that just the different levels of plain earth, the plain meaning, to be able to go into feelings and get a clue to be able to see the logic and understand what is the secret that is being kept, to come to a place to, just like that last part says, is how to be one with the heart and thus open to plainness, get a clue, and come to pristine logic. It's like, get a clue.
Yeah. Thanks, Emilio, and thank you, Jessica, for joining us in the chat room. What about you, Verena? How was your inquiry today? What did you pick up?
Well, in a nutshell, how incredibly important it is for me to get there's only one of us. And the minute I find myself in a complaint or blame mode, if I can bring it home and do something with it, you know, either note that it's making me uptight and losing my peace, or note that there's something I clearly don't understand, then all this can help me unfold it. So I'm really seeing how essential it is for me to bring it home first.
And thank you, Verena, for that. I totally hear and receive that. Amen. Maha, anything surprise you today? Anything for your parting words?
Yes. Parting word for me is love logic. I'm in love with the way my mind is functioning right now. I've always felt that, you know, the movie A Beautiful Mind comes to mind. And I've always felt how important it was to have the mind completely surrender to the heart and 100% surrender. What surprises me is the way it feels to have that to the physical body. Now that I have so much joy in no more shame, no more secrets. Love logic. Love and
intoxication.
That's the part of that paradox.
Thank you, Maha. Thank you indeed, and for all that you do in bringing this through. Very much appreciated. And for those of you that are listening to us in the archives, please come back. We'll be back on stage here in the month of September on our stations to be continued. We do appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And until we meet again, Shalom Lecha. Peace go with you.
Shalom Lecha.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.